This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar, liver, the barrels, and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up for your Penn State tailgate. Stock up for a weekend of football starting on Friday night. In case you want a little football Brazilian style. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, it is time now for Tuesdays with Neil. Mr. Coulong, welcome.
You bet. As always, it's great to be here. I hope you guys are doing well on this post-holiday Tuesday.
Yes, exactly. So let's get to the Arthur Smith Bowl. And right out of the gate, he gets to face a defense he knows very well. And the Steelers have the Falcons. Your thoughts on the Arthur Smith Bowl?
It's a great marketing ploy. I know that. I don't know how much love there was left for Arthur Smith in Atlanta. You didn't get a sense that the players were really behind him, and the job may have been, I don't want to say too much, but I'm not there with them. I don't know exactly how they would have taken to what he was trying to do or what he was teaching them. But what I know is it seemed to be a train wreck offensively. I always thought it was interesting that he went from one train wreck to another with the hopes of, revitalizing the one now in Pittsburgh. But maybe this group fits better with the things that he was trying to do, but nobody was really sure what he was trying to do in Atlanta. So maybe the game passed him by. Maybe the things that he was trying to do aren't going to be as successful as the success that he had in Tennessee. But I do think Atlanta as a whole probably is not real big on anything Arthur Smith related. And I think I would think the veteran players who were on that defense would be about ready to, want to make a play or two and let Smith know about it. So more the concern that I would have with Atlanta is what they've done offensively to build themselves back up. I think Kirk Cousins is a very solid NFL quarterback. I understand he's not the most popular, not the chart-topping type of guy, but the bottom line is he's far better than anybody that Pittsburgh has had over the last couple of years, and he's a lot better than what Arthur Smith had in Atlanta. And Arthur Smith doesn't have the benefit, again, of having the better of the two quarterbacks in this game. So he's going to have to figure out a way to put up points against a defense that would love to shut him down in many ways the way that players and fans thought he shut Atlanta down last year, and have to compete, I think, step for step with Cousins and what they're going to be able to do offensively now with maybe a system that's a little bit better fit for the personnel that they have. So it's a tough opening game for the Steelers, and to throw the new offensive coordinator against his former team, going from one bad offense to another. A lot of eyeballs are going to be on this one. I'm not getting a great feeling about it, but we'll see. Obviously, it's week one. You never quite know what the team is in week one. You don't really have a good sense of that in the NFL until week two or three nowadays anyway. So maybe there's something there, but I don't know. I just get the sense this is going to be a slow starting year for the Steelers offensively yet again. I have faith in their ability to put things together as the year goes, but they're going to need reps. You know, they lost Isaac Siamalu for a couple games, it sounds like. That's three starters on the Steelers' offensive line making their first NFL start. Two of them are rookies. One of them didn't play at all last year. So I don't know. This is tough. Smith's got a pretty big assignment in front of him, and this isn't even going to be the biggest assignment he faces this year. So you hope he's got something on them that on the Falcons that will work, but I don't know. It's going to be a tough one, I think.
On the Steeler defense, going in, what's your impression as to what you think you're going to like? And also, what's your impression about the Steelers' defense where going in you think you might not like?
You always like their ability to get off the edge and make plays, and a lot of that is set up on their ability inside to create chaos. They fill gaps. Typically, they fill gaps well. They can occupy blockers that help fill in their edge. And with that, depending on how much wear and tear T.J. Watt has, I think is a concern. Not that we have any particular reason to think that, but the guy has played, you know, pretty much every snap he's been able to play for the last, what, it feels like 10 years now. He's going to have to slow down eventually. I've had this conversation with a bunch of people, and this is why I feel in a field of multiple worthy recipients of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year last year, T.J. Watt probably would have been my vote because of the amount of times the Steelers would put him at the wide nine technique, so well outside of a tight end. And have him be able to make up that ground and get to the quarterback and disrupt the play. Basically, it forces an offense to have to stretch out if you want to put a body on him. And Tomlin and defensive coordinator Terrell Austin had no problem betting on Watt in that situation. He's had to run a long way. He's had to blast off the line. All these things wear your body down over time. I'm not saying it's an immediate thing, but if he loses even a microsecond off of his burst, his ability to get off the ball and to get upfield the way he does, they're not going to be effective doing that. And that's a huge part of why their defense has been successful over the last couple of years. So if Watt can continue to do that, that's going to their pass rush obviously is predicated off of that. He's maybe the best pass rusher in the game over the last 5 years. You will see some great things out of that. You'll see him play some great defensive football. They can scheme advantages because of his presence. And Alex Highsmith is a very good player as well. He's developed kind of a craftiness to him. He's got an array of pass rushing moves now. Obviously not the athlete that Watt is, but he can land. He can get to the quarterback. If they're able to occupy the A and the B gap, their pass rush will again be higher level in comparison to the rest of the NFL. And I think that's something we talk about but don't really fully explore. You know, the talent that they have there, that now they're building again. Keanu Benton playing along with a veteran like Cam Hayward, that's going to create better things. They've gotten a lot more athletic in their inside linebackers now. Patrick Queen is definitely a step up over what they had last year. It's unfortunate that they didn't, you know, quite get to play with everything that they had last year, but Queen will be a very solid player for them, if not a spectacular one. That's going to be fun to watch. Down part, you know, I'll add Joey Porter in there another season, kind of learning his position, learning his craft. Maybe the refs put the flags away for him a little bit. He can get away with a little bit more, which would definitely help the team. I think he led the NFL, led cornerbacks to the NFL with penalties last season. If he can tone that down to a pretty good amount this season, you're going to see one of the better cornerbacks in the league. That'll be fun to watch. What they're doing elsewhere, I think, is a problem. But you put all that together, it seems like, you know, a lesser important problem. They've got a lot of good pieces defensively. They'll have good safety play. Minkah Fitzpatrick is playing 17 games. Their entire defense will be in line. They'll be able to make plays on the ball, both in the deep secondary as well as around the line of scrimmage. And they should be able to impact what's probably going to be a pretty mediocre offense. They can get away with a little bit more offensively, knowing their defense is pretty stand-up and explosive. They can make plays on the ball when it's in the air and when the quarterback has it. So that's really what a modern defense today is. I think they have that ability. That's certainly what they've built their team to do this year. It should be a good unit. I think they'll be a solid defensive team yet again. A lot of it, and perhaps an uncomfortable amount for today's NFL, though, is going to have to rest on their ability to play defense offensively. They're going to have to get to the ball, take the ball away, and sack the quarterback. If they can't do that, they're going to struggle with this offense.
So now let's flip it to the other side. Same question. Something that going in you're not so sure you like, and some stuff that, you know, you think going in you're going to like.
I thought I was going to like the offensive line, and I still want to. Siamalu's absence, though, is going to be noticeable pretty quickly. I felt he was one of the more underrated players in the league last year, played very well at times. Not somebody they're just going to be able to replace. I would assume it's Spencer Anderson that's going to get the nod there. You're going to take a step down, and that's playing alongside Dan Moore at left tackle, who's, I assume is going to win the left tackle job after camp, which I think is a bit of an upset. I don't know if this was the ideal situation for the Steelers to not have either Broderick Jones or Troy Fitanu playing left tackle, and if not having both of them starting, not the situation we would have expected. So if we're framing this question back in like March, April, May, I would have thought the offensive line would have been a little bit more, a point of excitement. You know, you could get behind them, but at the same time, I do feel you'll have a boost of athleticism within that group. It's something that Arthur Smith can plan around to have that ability to play the short game, play quick game with athletic linemen that can shoot off the line, get the blocks at the second level. They have a group that can do that. So I feel like we can see explosive plays on higher percentage passes than perhaps we've seen the last couple of years from a team that struggled to do that. They didn't play RPO as well as we thought they would. They didn't play quick game as well as we thought they would. They did a lot of it. They just didn't really explode. You know, this one of the worst explosive offenses in the game over the last couple of years. I'm not blaming the offensive line for that, but I do think they have the athleticism up front to set stuff up for guys that they can maybe take a 2-yard gain and turn it into 7 or 8. You do that a couple times on a drive, that's points instead of a punt. That's a touchdown instead of a field goal. So that part, I think there is some room for optimism. I'm just not sure how well that's going to click now without Siamalu. The biggest point of contention for me has been and will continue to be the wide receiver position. Now, it's going to go down in Yinzer lore forever. Mm-hmm. Did they actively plan, not just hope for, but plan to get Brandon Ayuk? Now that that's not happening, there's a Brandon Ayuk-sized hole in their salary cap.
Yep.
They have draft picks. They have a lot of good young talent coming in. They traded Deontay Johnson away for, at best, a mediocre cornerback who's going to start for them, and nothing else, really. The move seemed to suggest we're removing ourselves from Deontay Johnson, because we're going to find somebody that's worth more of the money that we have to pay receivers nowadays. They're not paying anybody that. If you're going to try to sell me on Van Jefferson as a Deontay Johnson replacement, I'm not buying it. Everything looks like they really actively wanted to find a 1A type of receiver. And whether they didn't go hard enough or whatever reason, it didn't happen. And they don't have it. So this is a receivers league. You know, teams have two, if not three, guys that can produce. We're not sure if the Steelers have one. So that's going to be a problem. You can't tell me otherwise. And you can't tell me that as much as I enjoy Darnell Washington, if he's your second tight end, he's not a guy that's getting four targets a game. Pat Freiermuth is going to have to get six, seven targets a game. Does that make your offense better? George Pickens doesn't play a position in which he's gotten seven, eight targets a game. Are they going to force that to him, or is this a team that's going to give 12 receivers four targets a game? That might be the case. I'm not sure if that is Arthur Smith's plan, if that's what they've always intended to do. It just doesn't seem like it to me. So I think they're left without a receiver. Maybe they're not quite done yet. But I have been saying the entire offseason at some point they're going to bring another one in, but they never did. So I don't know what production they expect to get from the receiver group that's in Pittsburgh. Between your wide receivers, your tight ends, and your running backs, there's some explosive playmaking ability in there, but every team in the league has what the Steelers have. So I don't know if they're difference makers at that position. And I don't think offenses move all that well if you don't have explosive playmakers anymore. So I think they're going to struggle for that. I think they're going to have to play completion ball again. I think they're going to have to play possession ball. And I don't know how well that works in today's NFL. You're asking a lot of your defense, but it seems like that's what they're gearing up to do this year.
Yeah, I saw Pat Freiermuth, in fact, was at the Penn State-West Virginia game on Saturday on the sideline. I know this is ground we have covered before, but I wanted to at least revisit it because it fits the moment, and that's the Brazil game coming up on Friday. And your thought on the NFL playing so many games now out of the country. And my point's always been, and it's the fans of this country that built it.
I think overall, I see why they're doing it. And I think there's a level at the surface that is kind of like, I don't really care. It doesn't make too big of a difference. I can't help but feel with these operations, there's always a step away from, you know, a real negative PR situation. Don't ask me why, but what flashed in my mind this week thinking about it was a game I covered at the Edward Jones Dome, yeah. Rams and Steelers back in 2015. Mm-hmm. A pregame thing went off, and something happened with the pyrotechnics that they, like, melted a section of the field, and there was, like, a half-an-hour-long delay on it. If you've got the attention of a one-game night, and you're bumping high school games to the side for this, keep that in mind. You're looking to recruit South America, but you're making sure high school fans across the state have to choose between watching this game or you know, watching the local product. I don't know how good of an idea that is, but the point being, it primetime audience, something like that happens, it's a negative thing simply because mm-hmm. it gives fodder to people that want to go out and make jokes. It doesn't make your product look very good. And even if your operations people have taken care of all this in, you know, 100 different stadiums across the country, it's not the same thing. There's international issues going on within the country now, as it is, to a point where Twitter isn't allowed, or they're going to have to do a bunch of stuff to help add to the social media effort. It seems like an awfully expensive risk. I understand marketing. I get wanting to push into different areas. I don't know. I watched, you know, a bit of the pre-Olympic flag football competition. I'm not sure this is an international game. I don't. That's just me. I get nope. why they want to establish a future, and to do that, they've got to have an international footprint. They do to some extent. I think there are more connections in Europe than they are in South America. That's even more soccer dominated than Europe is. So I don't know. That's just me. I think they do well within the market that they have. They're going to continue to push it because, you know, I guess they want to go to all corners of the earth. There's no point in stopping expanding. Otherwise, they're out of jobs, right? It just seems more that that's the idea here, not
yep.
this is good for everything. That's just my useless two cents on the matter.
Nope, I'm with you. Again, I look at the fans of this country. You are who you are as an organization because of fans here. Why are you taking home games away from the people who built you? I mean, that's where they created the preseason. Use that.
yeah, I mean, this is a marquee game too. You know, those are popular teams, and it's early in the season. They're going to want to be a part of that. I think part of the justification is we add another game to the schedule. You're not technically necessarily losing a home game, but or only one team is at least. But I don't think they should take home games away from teams like that. And it, more than anything, is it can't be one game. This has got to be a commitment to several over the next couple of years. And back in the day, the whole thing was, you know, we're going to London because we're trying to leverage Los Angeles into building a stadium so we can move teams there instead of London. Well, that leverage is gone now. What are you going to do? You're going to put it in Sao Paulo? I mean, it's a team isn't moving there. What market do you expect to get on one game a year? That the American press is talking a lot like you and I are right now. I don't think that they're going to be real moved by this game that they don't understand, that doesn't make sense to them. It's not played at all like the game that they're used to watching. That's a significant investment, and I don't see that the juice is worth the squeeze in this particular instance, but I do think when you have a mandate to expand for expansion's sake, this is what you're going to do. And when I say expand, I don't mean move a team anywhere. I mean reach into a different market, a different audience. It's not as if Brazilians have not been able to watch NFL football. I think it's been available to them for however long. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to be all that interested in it. You know, and I think we'll see that come Friday with the local reaction to it all.
My friend, always a pleasure. Happy football season.
Absolutely. Happy football season to you guys as well. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.